This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And good morning, my friend. 7 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 10th. Welcome to the Wednesday morning talk show.
And we're off and running.
Off and running again, actually.
And by the way, Rose, that grease is hot and burns.
That was from a conversation prior to the beginning of this program, off the air, which we will just leave that there, right, Uncle Ralph?
Right.
For now.
Late.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have to wait for the director's cut to come out.
Yeah.
That'll be on.
Take scissors for that.
Yeah. Well, the Wednesday morning talk show brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. I'm Terry Toad, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. And joining us in the studio, Jessica Becker from the community, Central Illinois Community Blood Center.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. Good to have you in studio. Rose Beard, one of our favorite volunteers from Hillsborough. Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
And Rosie's not only going to be here today, but she's going to be here next week with me.
Yes.
All right.
I am.
Next Friday morning, going to come in and talk about the Thanksgiving doings in Hillsborough?
I sure am.
All right. Great. And Phil Borgic has joined us this morning. Phil's going to be talking a little bit about the Montgomery County Water Company and how rural water, how that is progressing along here in the county. So first things first, we need to hear from our sponsor, Terry Plummer, who, by the way, will be a guest on this program next month. Yes, if he's not busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we like to introduce him, the last man to ever let you down.
That's right.
Terry Plummer, Plummer Funeral Home, back with more in 30 seconds.
Since the opening of Plummer Funeral Home, we have focused on giving the highest level of quality care to every service we provide. We offer the most respectful and dignified funeral services, combined with exceptional value and a deep commitment to the families we serve. At Plummer Funeral Home, we are always here for you, before, during, and after the service, whenever you need a caring friend. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday morning talk show, and in studio, as we mentioned, Jessica Becker from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, Rose Beard from Hillsborough. That means we have a blood drive in Hillsborough next week.
That's right.
At the Moose.
Yep.
Be there or be square. And as a special treat.
It's going to be a special treat?
It better be.
you didn't read the notes that we handed out, huh?
Yeah.
I think Uncle Ralph's supposed to be there, right?
Uncle Ralph's going to be there.
You're gonna drag his butt over there and have him fire up the grill?
He certainly is.
And I want you to know it's very satisfying to be able to beat Santa Claus to town. And I'm going to beat him by a couple weeks. Yeah, we're going to fry up a few pork patties, see if we can get some people in to help with the blood bank. Hopefully we will.
Now, if you've never had an Uncle Ralph grilled sandwich, pretty darn good. Special Uncle Ralph seasoning, which he will not reveal.
No.
Because if he tells you, he has to kill you.
I'd gladly tell you, but I'd have to shoot you after I told you.
See,
so.
That's what he tells me every time. I can't tell you, because if I tell you, I have to kill you. So. Plus, it's over charcoal.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
It's a very tasty.
Not under it, over it.
It's over.
And at the end, Uncle Ralph's going to get out with me because we're going to bring in 100 people and we're going to get out and dance the two of us together.
We're going to do a cha-cha right out in the middle of the street. And if you've never seen Rose Beard do the cha-cha, folks, be there.
That's the standing challenge we have, isn't it? 100
yes,
people,
it is.
Rosie will dance in the street.
100 people and I'll get out there and dodge traffic.
That would be an interesting thing. Well, first off, the hours, Rose, for next Wednesday's blood drive.
Noon to 6:30,
like usual. And you can call, people can call ahead for appointments. And the downtime is kind of the middle of the afternoon, so that's always a good time to call and get an appointment if you want to get
it. It is. If you're able to come, that's the time to come.
So, Jessica, a little bit about the blood drive, who's eligible, what, the age range and that sort of thing. Can you fill us in there, kiddo?
Most people are eligible to give blood. 60% of the population is at any given time. If you are 16 years old and older, 110 pounds or more, healthy, that means no colds, no flu, no communicable diseases, please come out and give.
How about if you had just recently had a flu shot?
Flu shots have no deferral whatsoever, not even the flu mist. So as long as you don't have the flu, If you have had the flu mist or flu shot, you are just fine.
Okay. And, Rose, you were able to get hold of a list of donors that you work from. And a lot of these people have been doing this for an awful long time.
Uh-huh.
And you might want to recognize a few of those folks and maybe mention a few of your up-and-coming donators. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can.
Let's go to the list.
Okay.
All right.
The list tells me the new people who've donated for the first time are Bob Bell, who I used to work with, Elizabeth Boyd, Tara Burris, Lucille Nolan, and James Ward. And we have a few people who reached milestones in their donating career. Marjorie Boston donated 4 gallons. Helen Laux has gotten to 11 gallons. Darcy Rutan is 3 gallons. Kenneth Sandland, 8 gallons. Jim Schwarzkopf, 3 gallons. Judy Thacker, 1 gallon. And Francis White has made it all the way to 18 gallons.
That's 18 gallons.
That's 144 units of blood.
Wow. Jessica, do you have, is that one of the top donators? In,
it's got to be. It really has. We have a wall of appreciation in the donor center, and I'm pretty sure there's just, you know, there's a number of people that have gotten to the 1 and the 2 and the 3, but once you start getting up to 13, 14 and more.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
That's dedication.
That is dedication.
It's amazing.
And the thing about it, Rose, with the blood drives, you're in a situation, as many of the other civic groups are. They're needing new blood. Pardon the pun. Need some younger people.
I've
I've been saving up that one for a long time.
I finally got it in.
But you need some more donors who haven't donated in the past, some younger people.
Yes, we always need new donors. There are some of the people who have given for years who just can't give for anymore for one reason or another, or who are out of town or something, and we always need new donors to take their place. And if you're a first-time donor to come to the blood drive, you need to bring your driver's license for identification purposes and plan to spend an hour. And there will be other people there, maybe you know. Maybe there will be new people you can meet and become friends with. We have a kind of a family atmosphere at the blood drive. So I think that it's a relatively painless experience.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's a big bribe, Uncle Ralph's pork patty. Mm-hmm.
And a big Uncle Ralph's famous pork patties.
Listen to this.
Just, you know, we need a sign like McDonald's, you know, billion served.
My only regret is that someone didn't notify me early this morning so I could have brought my hip waders.
Oh,
getting a little deep in there.
Well, that's not the first time it's happened in this room.
No.
That's kind of a weekly occurrence there. So. All right. Jessica, back to you. Quick question. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been treated for other diseases, and the cancer comes to mind, and now they've been cleared. They've been cancer-free for a time. They're able to donate blood.
They are. A couple of years ago, we started to welcome back donors who've been in remission for 1 year or more. That means released from the doctor's care, no longer have cancer. And it's a really, I can imagine that it's a really great feeling, because a lot of our blood products are used to treat cancer. In fact, they're the primary recipients of blood. So to be able to give back to the blood supply that helped get you through that time in your life, I'm sure has got to be an amazing feeling.
And the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, their main office is located on 7th Street, right across from Springfield Clinic.
Yep.
Real easy to find. I mean, it's easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the best way to get to it is cut through the parking lot.
That's the way I
go. My direction.
I didn't say that. But, yeah, that's one way of doing it.
Well, just be honest.
Yep.
You know, why go all the way around?
And we're open every day of the week except for Sunday, and we're including Saturday morning. So if you're, you know, errandine in Springfield and you miss the blood drive here or any upcoming blood drives in the area, you can always drop in.
And if you type in Central Illinois Community Blood Center on the internet, it takes you to the website, and you'll have a list of all the area blood drives.
Exactly.
So it's really kind of a handy thing. So next Wednesday, Hillsborough Moose, beginning at noon till 6:30.
And we are so happy that the Moose was able to get their problems started to be straightened out so that we can continue to have our blood drives there.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that we have that amazing space, that they've been overwhelming in their support to this community.
Hillsborough would have been devastated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we're so glad. We're so glad for so many reasons that the Moose was able to stay open.
Yeah. All right. So that's next Wednesday. So put that on your calendar. So, Rose, you want to spin that microphone around to Phil over there, and we'll get Phil Borgic involved in this conversation. First off, good morning, Phil. It's good to see you, my friend.
Good morning to you, Terry.
And Rural Water, it's kind of chugging along, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been averaging about every 2.5-3 years and starting a new phase, and we're collecting easements for phase four right now.
Wow, phase four already. We were talking, gosh, it must have been a few years ago about it, Ralph. As time passes very quickly, but this is such a huge thing for rural America to get this water service.
And it's kind of like the first airplane. Everybody said it wouldn't fly, and Phil and I were kind of pioneers. We were on the first board of directors of Montgomery County Water Company. And I'm sure Phil was like me. As we sat there that night, I kind of was asking myself, what'd you get yourself into this time, you know? Because it looked like a project that had more obstacles than maybe it could overcome. But perseverance, and as Phil will tell you, a lot of dedicated people worked hard to get it started, and then it's just been a snowball ever since.
Well, it's kind of a farmer's attitude, like, hey, this needs to be done. Let's take care of it.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. And how many years has this project been going on now, Phil? What?
Well, in 1997, we started doing a survey on, you know, finding out what the needs were. And phase one went in 2000.
Okay. And what area are you working in now, phase four?
Well, with phase four, we're actually going to be connecting to Raymond.
Okay.
To be a backup source for them, and they could be a backup source for us. So we're going to be going up towards the Raymond area, but the primary location will be east of Witt down to Fillmore.
Okay.
And then east of Irving in that area.
So slowly but surely, the area keeps expanding, the service area keeps expanding.
And I think, Phil, one of the big pluses for Montgomery County Water Company when we started was one of the first things they suggested we do is go out and collect 100 samples of water from rural people. And I think like 91 or 92 of them was deemed unfit for drinking or cooking purposes. And I think this kind of opened a lot of people's eyes as to what their water supply actually contained.
It did, and actually my wife can speak to that directly, because when we, 20 years ago, our well water affected her. And since then, you know, we've had Rural Water in our house for 5 years, and it's made a big difference. And also then the reliability of it versus the well. You don't have to maintain your pumps, and you know it's there. It's there when you don't have power even.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing about the water company, everybody thought, well, now is this going to be one of them deals when I try to wash dishes and my husband's down taking a shower and neither one of us have any water. But it was very well engineered, very well put together, and I've been off the board for several years, but I hear very few complaints about anybody that says, you know, their water pressure is good, the water flow is good, and very few problems.
We just have a couple instances where the elevation, because elevation is what determines the pressure at the individual household, and where the elevation in relationship to our tower is just too high, and so then we're not able to get, you know, we're able to meet the minimums, but we're not able to get, you know, 30, 40 pounds. But except for those very few houses, it's been very good. You know, we are covering, you know, a good part of the county, and we're actually, you know, able then to people are able to build houses in out in areas where there is no water, very little water, and so it helps bring economic development then to our county.
I like the fact that when we were growing up, Phil, and there were houses all over the country, you know, farm families, and you guys, I'm sure, all remember it as well. Not the situation anymore, but it'd be good to see a lot of houses out there and farm families back out there on the rural areas again.
And it's helped, especially against the two lakes.
Yeah.
That we have, you know, people building houses there, and but those are new houses, and those are a lot of them are younger families and bringing kids back to our community.
Bringing back kids to the community, bringing back kids to the schools, and just making the area a better place to live. How many customers are on the system right now, Phil?
Well, right now we got 730, okay. And with the next phase, it'll be we're hoping over 90 new additions then with phase four.
Wow. That's terrific. Is phase four the final phase of it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Really don't know where we're going to go to next. What determines where we go next is we ask people to come in and go to the lower level of the courthouse and talk to Pat,
mm-hmm.
and give us a $25 deposit. And what that does then, it puts a dot on the map. And as we look at that map then, we decide, you know, do we need to do a phase five and where we're going to go. And so it's important that people go ahead and fill out that app, and so we know where the customer base might be in the future.
Phil, let's get back to the beginning. How did this all come about? How did you incorporate? Where was the startup money? Where did all that come from?
The county board has been was very active in getting this started, and because they knew the need. Southtown, especially, they just didn't have water. They were hauling water a lot to the different houses down in there. So the county board really got involved. They actually helped with some finances up front, and definitely helped in getting the grants available. The Department of Agriculture has been, through rural development, has been very active in providing the money, both loan money and grant money, throughout the state of Illinois and other states to make this happen. And so that's where the primary source of funding comes from. And we've been very fortunate. We've been getting about half grant and half loans through the different phases, and so that actually makes it economically feasible. The one thing that has changed since, you know, Ralph and I worked on phase one, is the cost is about doubled, for each customer. And part of that is we're going to areas that we don't have people as close to density, and so your per customer cost goes up. But then the cost of plastic and everything else has went up dramatically in this 10 years.
And it's not like you can just go out there and throw down a piece of plastic tile and go. I mean, these all have to meet the specs and the things set forth by the government. So
very much so. It's as regulated as anything else is. At times we have upset people because we've not been able to bring them water, right away, mm-hmm. because of the have to work with Illinois EPA and a minimum of 60 days, and you can't always do what you think you should be able to do because it does have to meet certain specs, the size of pipe, location. Is all regulated, and especially when you work with their grant money.
Yeah. And when you work with their grant money, you jump through the hoops.
You jump through the hoops, and we're still working with the same engineering firm that we worked with on phase one, Brown and Roberts, and they're kind of trying to keep me out of jail.
They're doing a fine job.
So far, they've been successful. And another thing, Phil, I think that's been very well received is the acceptance of rural people to give you easements, to give you passage through their ground to lay the pipe and stuff. Overall, you always have problems, but overall it's been pretty good, hasn't it?
It has. Sometimes that if we're not able to get an easement, which we're having some troubles with phase four on a couple of locations, it caused us to lay another mile and a half of pipe to service those people that want water and need water. And so then that does run a cost up. For the people that we do ask to give the easements, I hope that they understand that, if there's a problem in the future, we're going to take care of it and make sure that however that ground was before we got there, we're going to leave it in the same condition and ask for them to, really, to give us easement, and that's going to help out the community.
Phil, talk a little bit about the board that's made up and the people on the board, and if people have questions, who could they talk to?
Pat Robertson is in the courthouse, and she's our initial contact in the lower level of the courthouse. And we're
talking the historic courthouse, so.
Yes, the historic courthouse. And she has a lot of answers because she's been with us now for, I'd say 10 years. And so she can ask that, and a lot of times then now she'll send people my way to answer additional questions. But, you know, the board is made up of, we got a good block of people spread throughout our service area, and so then they'll have individual questions come up to them. But just like you talked about, you know, needing new people, we've actually got a slot open on our board. And one day I'd like to retire, Ralph.
Yeah. Well, I you'll probably be like me, Phil. When that time comes, you'll probably just say, I'm done, I'm leaving, and that's the only way you'll ever get off.
And I'm doing a couple of those things now, trying to reduce the amount of participation I've had in different things. But with the water company, it's important, and that we do get some the people in there that, number one, have business sense. Because we do, right now we're getting a source of water from two communities, working on two more. And, you know, we want to keep the cost as low as possible. And so, we do have good people on there that do have good business sense, and so we need to continue with that. And then they can take my job.
Well, people don't realize the importance when you're in a rural area and you don't have it of good, clean, dependable water supply.
And projects like this, you have to have people that can look beyond a month, 6 months, a year. You have to be able to look years into the future and realize that there's a plan that you want to execute, but you have to go... you have to operate on government time. Basically, the timetable that they set forth.
Absolutely.
You have to be patient.
It does, yeah. Patience is not one of my virtues.
And yet, you're working with the girls' volleyball team, Phil. Come on. You must have patience.
Well, I've used up a little bit of my allocated patience with that. But it's fun. It's I've had a great time doing that. But I'm actually retired from that job.
Yeah.
So so that gave me a little more time to work on other things. But it does take patience. You have to apply for these funds, and it may be a year, 2 years before you get to the top of the list. And they've been very aggressive. Rural Development has been very aggressive and made funds available. They got some stimulus dollars, to get more water out there. And they also work with sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just takes time.
All right. And if they have any questions, Phil, they can give you a call?
Absolutely. Give me a call and give Pat a call at the historic courthouse.
Okay. Guys, we're out of time. Believe it or not, fun time. Jessica Becker from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center. Rose Beard from Hillsboro are volunteers at Blood Drive next week, next Wednesday at the Moose, beginning at noon, running till 6:30. You can call Rose. Rose, pull that microphone over there. If they want to make an appointment, what's your phone number there, kid?
217-313-5250.
There you go. And that's from noon till 6:30 at the Hillsboro Moose. And Uncle Ralph is going to be fixing pork patties. And so if you donate blood, you get a pork patty.
That's
right. That's a heck of a deal.
Or if you try to donate blood.
If you try to donate blood. If you show up and present yourself, you'll get a pork patty.
Just call me Flipper.
Yeah, that's on a long list
of
names that you've been called.
Well, that's one of the things we can say on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks to Phil Borgi from the Montgomery County Water Company. Phil, thank you. It's always good to see you, and a great job with working with the high school volleyball team at Lincolnwood. And you're a great guy, great family. So thank you very much. Uncle Ralph, we'll see you on Saturday, a Sports Saturday, or Sports Insanity, as we like to call it sometimes.
Sports Insanity.
Yeah, stick around. The man, the myth, and the legend, yes, Earl Sarles, up next with that opening market report here on AM 1540. That's it for this week's edition of the Wednesday Talk Show, brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield.